to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
We all sucked. And that was a little bit too harsh, but I want you guys to understand that it was coming from a really good place. It was coming from my heart. Because this is not just my job. This is my life. And the guys and girls in that locker room, they are not just my colleagues. They are my brothers and sisters. They are my family. And families aren't just about blood. They're about struggling together, about fighting together. And as the head of this family, I feel like it is my responsibility to motivate our locker room and to get the absolute best out of every single superstar here on Raw.
This is the Stinger, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. It's showtime, folks.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 7th. Quick list of holidays today. It's International Civil Aviation Day, Letter Writing Day, National Cotton Candy Day, one of my favorites. Me loving some cotton candy. And Pearl Harbor Day. We have birthdays today, a few. WWE Hall of Famer Sonny turns 47 today. Former NXT superstar Jordan Miles. You remember that guy? ACH on the Indies and other places. He turns 32 today.
He made an appearance this week, I think, over in MLW.
MLWs, yeah. So obviously he did get his release because he could do that. Yeah, Jordan Miles is his other places now after all the, I don't know what it was, all the hoopla over the T-shirt and whatnot when he was in NXT. So he's 32. AEW star Jon Moxley is 34 today. Former WWE star Mr. Hughes turns 55, and today would have been the 61st birthday of WWE Hall of Famer Ravishing Rick Rude. So those are the birthdays today. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Join us 1 week from today for UFC 245, Salvatore's Saloon, and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastwood Road. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early? Come hang out with us. There'll be prize specials all night long, drinks and all sorts of things. That's December 14th. You know, you have a busy day of Christmas shopping or holiday shopping or whatever you do shopping, and Hanukkah shopping, who knows, whatever it may be. Come on out December 14th and spend the night with us watching UFC 245, watching guys do what you want to do to guys in the mall that you can't do or you'd be in jail. They do it in an octagon. So that's December 14th at Salvatore's Saloon, Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 245. Interested in roller derby? Would you like to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Tell them the Pain Clinic sent you. If you're interested in the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R. Find it on Facebook or flowercityfear.com. And they're always looking for volunteers as well, or skaters or whatever, whatever you want to do. But today it's a very intimate pain clinic with the Cash Man, me, and my friend Furby.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
Furby is on the Facebook Live. We have a Facebook Live feed every week, and you're seeing Furby right there, and that's the only one in the studio. So Danger's not feeling too well, and Brian, who knows where he is, you know? Flying Brian someplace else.
He's a mystery man.
He shows up 1 week and not the next. But you know what? He's a good cat, loves his wrestling, and comes in and hangs out with us. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today, but if you want to give us a call, the number is 222-1280. Give us a call. You know, we can talk about anything. You can also text us at that number for the shy folks who don't want to call in but really have a funny thing to say, because I'll read the funny texts and I get them. And, you know, last night we had a huge UPW show in town. And, I mean, we know that Champ's out there someplace. Maybe you can, like, give us an update of what happened during the UPW show. A big December to dismember anniversary type of thing show. I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it was probably a blast, I'm sure. That was last night. But tonight we've got nothing. We do have something tonight. If you have Fight TV, you could tune in tonight and you could watch Alberto Del Rio, who is now known as Alberto Patron. Alberto El Patron. He's actually fighting MMA tonight against Tito Ortiz for the Combate Americas. So it's like that. And that's the same group that when I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, they did a show at the Turning Stone Casino. And I went there and met Alberto, as well as Paige was with him at the time. I got to meet Paige and Ricardo Rodriguez, which was really weird because Ricardo was his mouthpiece sort of when he came to WWE, and he kind of just kept following him around. So he was his announcer for also the Combate Americanas.
And speaking of Ricardo Rodriguez, does anyone else think that Humberto Carrillo looks like Ricardo Rodriguez? I think he's a younger version, honestly. That's what it looks like.
He does. I never thought about that. But a younger, thinner version. Maybe taller, yeah. Too. Maybe taller.
Maybe a little bit more athletic.
Yeah. I would say. And I like him, actually. You know, I feel terrible for the guy. Because he got such a great push about a month ago. And then Vince McMahon's like, nah.
Him and Cedric Alexander, both of them. They're both incredible. And they both got shoved back to the bus. Shoved to the back of the bus again.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys think about that. 222-1280. Give us a call. But man, that he has a lot of potential. I don't really remember him in NXT coming up.
He was there for a very, very short amount of time. He was kind of like one of those quick hitters where we started out on NXT, had a couple good matches, put him right on 205 Live, and he kind of just started on 205 Live, and then when they did the draft and everything, they just brought him right in and put him up against AJ Styles.
I remember Stephanie McMahon introducing him, and like it was a big pick, and I'm like, who's that? You know?
They had the whole segment on 205 Live, him and Drew Gulak and Tony Nese, they were like trying to mentor him and everything, and then basically him and Carrillo and Gulak had like kind of like a one-off before Gulak got drafted and he lost the title. And then Carrillo went up right afterwards.
Yeah, and Gulak's getting a lot of exposure now, too. I see him a lot. I see him a lot more now than I used to. I mean,
well, he's trained just about half the people in the WWE.
Yeah, I was going to say, you remember back when 205 started, we used to get 205 guys on Raw every week,
mm-hmm.
Until they put the belt on Enzo.
And yeah, then we all know how that went.
And then it kind of disappeared. But it was interesting. But yeah, Carrillo, I do see the similarities to Rodriguez there. I bet you that dude's going to be with Alberto El Patron or whatever he goes by. He's fighting MMA style. So this is not Tito Ortiz trying. And I guess in response to this, it doesn't matter how it turns out, but actually Tito is going to come back and wrestle Alberto later in a professional wrestling match.
That'll definitely be interesting.
Yeah, because I mean, Tito looks great still. Are you kidding me? For his age, he looks fantastic. I mean, he's a talker. You know that.
Sure, absolutely. And if I'm not mistaken, Tito's also participated back when TNA was.
I remember
TNA.
That. Yeah.
So
TNA Impact Wrestling. He was part of that very first show. I think he came out and. I think he knocked out Jeff Jarrett or something. I know that
there was a big feud between them.
Yeah.
But you were saying that they're going to be on Fight TV tonight. I just wanted to also mention, I believe next Saturday, Fight TV, NWA is Into the Fire, their first main pay-per-view since the NWA Power TV show on YouTube. Got some interesting storylines and things going on there in NWA.
Yeah, it's a shame. And they just brought Melina in there, too.
Yeah, Melina's back. The Rock and Roll Express won for the ninth time the NWA Tag Team titles.
Yeah. I was going to say they do have a lot of, you know, a lot of familiar people you would see if you watched it. No longer Jim Cornette, though.
Yeah, they actually, so episodes 8 and 9, they had their season finale this past week. They did a pretty good job editing, taking Cornette out of it as much as they possibly could.
Oh, they had to.
And they had a whole thank you, Jim Cornette, for what you've done for NWA. And I think it was Joe Galli who kind of was behind the scenes doing like a little interview with it. And it was kind of cool. But yeah, it's a great show. If you ever get a chance to watch it, go on YouTube, look up NWA Power, 3 R's.
Yeah, there's a bunch of R's at the end of it.
It's a lot of fun, a lot of good segments, a lot of good promos. I mean, go watch Eli Drake. This week they had a thing, and I've mentioned it before, where I compared him to just the way he acts and represents himself and talks, kind of like The Rock or Stone Cold. That's just the way he sounds and everything. And he says exactly that he's gotten comparisons to The Rock, Stone Cold, Ric Flair. And kind of setting up down the future, he was kind of mentioning how Nick Aldis was telling him, oh, Eli Drake's Nick Aldis. Well, we can see down the road that there's going to be a title match lined up.
Definitely. And I will say Eli Drake is a guy, you know, he's a guy that you knew could speak when he was in Impact Wrestling, when he had the dummy button, you know, and when he'd do interviews and stuff. He's a guy whose wrestling had to come catch up to his ability to speak. Sometimes, you know, and that's one of the hardest things in this business is speaking,
right?
Cutting a promo. And I'm not saying it's easy to wrestle, but I think some people can wrestle like there's no tomorrow, but mm-hmm. can't speak to save their life.
And I think
you make money by speaking.
And as we've seen, I think people who can talk will get a little bit more opportunity because, I mean, they can further themselves in their career and in the ring just by how they talk.
That's right. And so it's very, very interesting that, and I love Eli. I loved him. I hated the way he left Impact. You know, it kind of refused to do something for the company that now is being worked on. Actually, I think he's supposed to wrestle Tessa Blanchard, or they were working towards it, and he didn't want to do it. And he'll come out and say that, you know, it's like, I didn't want to do that, you know, and it's like, so it kind of worked his way out of the company.
Right. Well, now Sami Callihan can fill that spot.
And Sami Callihan is, apparently, you know, so it's like, and Sami, he is relishing it. I will say that he's getting prime interviews every show, you know, him and his group. So he's got a little gang that follows him. So it's good. If you ever, you know, if you want to watch Impact Wrestling, catch up on some of that. It's on Access TV. It's on every Tuesday night. The only wrestling on Tuesday night, but you have to have Access TV. I think it's a couple of extra dollars, Time Warner, or I'm sorry, Spectrum. I'm showing my age. And, you know, you can get that, and plus Access has some great concerts on it too. And plus, they have women's wrestling. They have the women's wrestling on Saturday nights, as well as they do have MMA. And it's got a lot of different things, but it has a lot of music too, a lot of band concerts, a lot of interviews, pretty cool stuff. So, on that note, we're going to go to break. If you want to give us a call, 222-1280, *1280. We'll be back. We got some stuff to talk about, including we'll do a little catch up on the head to head between NXT and AEW. And beyond that, we've got we have some more news on announcer who won't be back with WWE, at least in the position he was at until Brock Lesnar knocked him out. And if you have any idea who I'm hinting at, you'll know in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Now, Butcher, Blade, Bunny, Andy Williams, Pepper Parks, Alley, whatever pseudonym you want to go by, I am familiar with your work. I've seen Beyond Wrestling all the way to Bar Wrestling. All you had to do was ask for a match. I would have given you a match, but I understand the pomp and circumstance of wrestling. I mean, you people have seen my entrance. I get it. So Butcher, Blade, Bunny, we can do this anytime, any place. We can have a match right now.
Hey, Seth. I'm sorry to interrupt you. Well, not really, but you know how I know you're lying? Because your lips are moving. And by the way, that smell I was referring to is bull.
You know the problem with people today? If they have an issue with somebody, they go straight to social media and they start complaining. Our locker room They like to be cryptic about it and let us guess how they're talking about, because they're a bunch of bloody cowards.
Hey, it's The Miz from the WWE on Sports Radio 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Always want to let you guys know that we are brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire Culver. I will say, I went to the Lancers game last Saturday night. What a lot of fun, man. It was packed.
Was it?
It was absolutely awesome. Packed. It's a great show. It's more than just the game going on. There's things before the game, at halftime, after the game, and lots of different merch places. You can get food everywhere. There's a disc jockey.
That sounds
Santa
awesome.
Claus was there. I saw Santa Claus there.
Making his yearly appearance.
That's right. So definitely check that out. The next games are 27th and 28th of December. Come on down. Have a good time. You'll see me, I'm sure. So welcome back to the show. We've kind of dabbled in a lot of different things we wanted to talk about. I will tell you that Dio Madden will not be coming back to the announcer's table on Raw. How does that affect you? Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think he was put on the announcer crew at the announce booth a little too early. He basically did 205 Live for like 5 weeks, and then they threw him right on the Raw announce team right away, right after the draft. And, you know, I didn't think he was bad in any way, but, you know, there was definitely some parts where he was Raw, no pun intended.
Yeah.
I think maybe Brock Lesnar was a little too hard on him, I guess, and wanted to make him go wrestle again.
Apparently, that's what he's going to. He's going back down to NXT, apparently, after this. But the thing is Joe came in to fill in, and Joe's been, you know, gangbusters.
And Joe's been way better.
Are you kidding me? Listen to Joe and, like, sympathize with every heel move. It's great, because he'll say it, like, under his breath. You know, it's like they're making fun of the people in Nashville, and they're talking about how, like, they're all hicks and live in barns and stuff. And Joe's like, yeah, that's true. That's here. Listen to it. He's just under his breath. He says that. I'm like laughing my head off.
People can say what they want about Samoa Joe. I mean,
I love Joe.
He's when he came over, you know, and he was doing his thing with Impact, and then he comes over and signs with WWE, goes NXT first. And I mean, people can say what they want. At first, I didn't think he was all that great a wrestler, but the more and more you watch him, you can definitely tell that he is. He's super athletic for as big as a guy that he is. And he's one of the best mouthpieces, one of the best promos that they have on that roster.
Yeah, and he developed it a lot over the past, since Ring of Honor. He was Ring of Honor champion for a long time. Went to Impact, came to Impact and made a huge impact with a huge feud with Kurt Angle.
I remember when they debuted him on Impact, and he was like the next big thing.
He was.
I mean, he held that X Division title, I think, for over a year, possibly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And amongst that, he also started a feud with Kurt Angle the day Kurt Angle came there, and it really kind of put Impact as a must-watch wrestling show.
That's kind of what and when I think of Impact, I do think of Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle and
AJ Styles.
Christian. And
I think AJ Styles, because he was there from day one.
Yeah,
you know,
AJ Styles. Yeah, I mean, and those are the guys that put that promotion on the map.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of torn down a little bit when Hogan and Bischoff joined, but
and Ric Flair and Mick Foley, and it was kind of like felt like they were trying to just copycat WWE for a little bit.
Well, that's what they used to say about WCW. It was the WWE's retirement home. That's what Dr. Love used to say on the show every week when he was on the show with us. 222-1280 starts over. I do want to mention, there's something else I wanted to mention. Oh, if you turned on SmackDown last night and you saw Elias spanking, what's his name again?
Drake Maverick.
Drake Maverick in the middle of the ring. I mean, what would you think if that, you just happened to turn right at that moment?
Fox had to love that.
It's like,
just what they want to catch their viewers in.
Yeah,
spanking on live TV.
An adult man spanking a shorter adult man.
A little. I don't know if I can say that. I was gonna say a little guy, but I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, he's proportionate, so I think he's just a.
It's funny how small they make him look on TV, because he's really like. I mean, he's no different than a normal 5'5" guy.
When he was Rockstar Spud, and I don't know if you guys know who that is, but he was an Impact. He actually had some of the best feuds. His feud with Hornswoggle, which lasted, you know, towards the end of his run there, was great. So 222-1280 Star Toys number. We have Jim from Kendall. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
a couple things. I think that the spanking episode last night, that was just a class in bullying 101. You know, that's how to teach bullying on national television.
And you know, the funny thing is they always claim they don't bully. You know, we don't bully in the WWE, but then you do it in your storyline.
They're really good at promoting bullying in their storylines, including Shorty G.
Yeah, exactly, Shorty G. Yep. And it's how they advance all their storylines, too, is they have to have a bully angle in it. So
the bad guy's got to be the bully, right?
That's right.
Hey, I just wanted to share another observation. It's the first time. I'm not a big NXT watcher, and a couple of things that I got from the pay-per-view a couple of weeks ago, and I actually heard, now the champ from NXT said he does not want to come up to one of the big rosters.
Yeah, Adam Cole. Yeah, he said that he loves being King of the Mountain down. And NXT has been elevated to a show equaled Raw and SmackDown.
And even coming out this week, too, Tommaso Ciampa said...
That's the one, Ciampa.
Tommaso Ciampa said he would be more willing to retire than go to Raw or SmackDown.
Wow.
And you think about the workload, the NXT does not have the number of house shows that the other ones do. You know, you can stay in one place. Why would anybody want to go? Is the money that much better on the two big shows than in NXT?
I think so. I think it is. But, I mean, NXT is going to catch up real quick if they keep keeping them on an even keel with Raw and SmackDown. Yeah.
For sure. And the thing is, too, Tommaso Ciampa, you made a great point about the traveling schedule and the workload and everything. I mean, the well-documented neck injury and the surgery he just had, too, obviously, you know, it'll protect him a little bit more. Obviously, he's more than willing to sacrifice his body, as we all saw at the TakeOver War Games match, jumping off the cage there. But, you know, got to take care of himself, got to take care of his family, too, in the future. But he's just so good. He's such a professional. He's such a great wrestler. And, again, probably one of the best heel runs for an extended period of time on NXT.
Oh, it was great when he was coming out to no music. And people were just
before that
him.
Injury, you know, the whole storyline, him and Gargano for a whole year was just marvelous how well they did it.
Yeah. So one other thing, you were talking about guys that look like wrestlers from the past. Now, just an impression I had, first time, again, on the pay-per-view that I saw Keith Lee. And he reminds me of Don Morocco on steroids.
Yeah, he's a bigger Don Morocco. Yeah, he does. He's got that thickness to him, you know. But he also is doing cartwheels and jumping out of the ring and stuff. So he's like, he's amazing.
A lot of the same mannerisms, you know, the same walking around with his arms crossed and looking disinterested in the whole thing, you know, for a while. And I thought, wow, that could be Morocco's, you know, like I said, steroid-laden grandson.
Yeah, true. I know Don Morocco trains a bunch of wrestlers, so it wouldn't surprise me at all if this is a guy he's using his mannerisms is because he trained him. But Keith Lee is, I mean, he got the best rub of anybody last weekend, or two weekends.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I thought so, too. Yeah, I agree with that.
He set himself up to be a huge star, yeah, honestly. He did.
And he got the main event this past week, too. He got the 3-on-3 there at the end of the show, which was, I mean, that was an NXT pay-per-view quality match as well. Yeah. So, hey, thank you so much for calling, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, take it easy. 222-1280, *1280 is the number. If you want to give us a call and tell us what you think. I mean, there was just some awesome, I think that there's some awesome wrestling this past week. We got to see some good stuff, especially on NXT. But someone texted us in and said, I think the last time SmackDown was interesting for the entire 2 hours was around the Rock and Roll Express's first NWA title win. Yeah.
And that was a long time ago because I don't even remember that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, you weren't alive, my man.
I definitely was not alive when the Rock and Roll Express was around.
No, I can guarantee you that. And I'm a heel liker, so it's like I just never liked the babyface tag team. But the girls loved them because they were the Poison and Motley Crue of the wrestling world, you know. Yeah. And they have all the bandanas on, and they run around with long hair and stuff. And
it's just so funny too, and I think it works beautifully in NWA. That they're there because of just the name that they are, but it's so funny to see these old guys rumbling around with these big, huge guys, and you know, the wild cards, and it kind of felt like an upset, these, you know, with them winning the titles back. It was kind of funny.
It did. One last thing before we go to break. What do you think about Kevin Owens coming out and saying BS in the first segment on TV on Monday night, 8 o'clock, a PG quote unquote show? I mean, I know we're used to like words now being like South Park will run all day on Comedy Central, and you'll catch like those bad shows at like 11 in the morning. Because they're not, because the FCC doesn't oversee cable distribution. So, what do you think about? I mean, was that like a shot back at AEW when Jericho used that word, and we've heard it since then by I think Hangman Page as
it
well.
Might be. I don't know if it's anything towards AEW per se. I think it's
I've never heard that word ever on any wrestling show until I heard it on AEW a couple weeks ago. So, unless it was Corey Graves screaming it by, you know, and it almost sounded like it was picked up by the mic by accident, you know?
Yeah. I mean, from what I've seen in wrestling the last half year or so, they've kind of started trending towards a non-PG style TV show. And so maybe it was hinting towards AEW with that, but they've been a little bit more lenient with what they've allowed them to say.
Well, I mean, you can't stop the fans from chanting words, okay?
And right.
You remember the Roman Reigns when he had won the Royal Rumble and he came out the following Monday, what the fans were chanting for 8 straight minutes on, and it was like, so the word gets out there. This is things that, you know, and listen, this is a language we can't use on the radio because we are overseen by the FCC.
Right, or even the Monday night after WrestleMania 33, after he beat The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
And just stood in the ring.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking more. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, because he said absolutely nothing. And then he just said, this is my yard now, drops the mic, walks out.
Yeah, I was thinking of that when I was, because I remember it was just so loud. Yeah, and it was in the same place where the match took place, too. So it was like, So, I mean, I just don't know if it's, and that's the thing is a lot of people say the downfall of the ratings have been due to the going to the strict PG, you know? You know, PG means no words, no blood.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of the smart wrestling fans turn their back on WWE.
Yeah, because it might be welcoming them back if they loosen up a little bit. But I think if we have to see much more of this Lana, Bobby Lashley thing.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And unfortunately, we're going to have a divorce King's Court on Monday with Raw. We're going to have Lana and Rusev in the ring. I don't know exactly what a divorce King's Court is about, but that's the preview they sent out this week.
If it's the end of it, thank God.
I have a feeling that they almost like it so much because everybody hates it.
I think they like it so much because
everybody hates it. No one says a positive word about it. So we're going to go to break on that. You're listening to Pain Click. Give us a call. 222-1280, star 1280. We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
On the last Dynamite of 2019, December 18th in Corpus Christi, Texas, I am being forced to have one more match for this year. But here's the thing, because I am Le Champion, I have the option to choose whoever I want to face. So what I did was I put together a little list. Seriously, get out of 2016. Simple that you and even the people of Nashville can understand what I'm saying right now.
That's all they talk.
You ready? You better listen. You may not understand. Past, future, RKO out of nowhere, gun, Claymore out of nowhere, in. Get it? Got it? Good. Deal with it, mate.
Hey, this is Rhino from TNA, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Love Aleister Black's music. It's nice that he's getting a lot of time on TV, building up towards a big match, I'm guessing.
I hope so. I just hope they utilize him properly when he gets back from his injury.
Yeah.
Give him something big.
Trust him. Trust him. You know, I mean, he's a former NXT champ. You know, trust him.
Absolutely. And don't protect him so much. I mean, a lot of his matches are super short, or they all just end in 5 minutes with the black mass. Let him throw some people around a little bit. Have some fun in the ring there.
Sure. And I was just showing someone pictures yesterday from when NXT came to the Main Street Armory, and he wrestled, I can't remember his name, Japanese guy that had to leave.
Kenta?
Kenta.
Hideo Itami?
Yeah, Hideo Itami. Yeah, it was Itami. And then Itami, they wrestled. It was a good match.
I remember that one vividly. It gave Itami a bloody nose.
Yeah, but it's funny when Itami like sat Indian leg style or whatever they call it, you know, yoga style in the middle of the ring behind him. I was like, we were in the second row, and I'm just loving this. It was like, it was a great match, and it's like, in Aleister Black, you know, I mean, you know, he is a complete character, so it's like, you can go with, you know, I mean, there's nothing, he doesn't get angry, he doesn't go crazy, he's just, you know, he's methodically skilled, and you know, amazing wrestler for all the stuff he does. It looks like he could hurt people, and he's not,
for sure.
So that was a cool thing that he gets a lot of run every week now on TV, and he did get a good match, and they're building up for him. And what's who's the guy that they keep teasing that he's going to be wrestling? What's his name? The guy, English guy, a muscle dude,
McIntyre.
Yeah, no. The one who used to date Alexa Bliss.
Buddy Murphy.
Murphy. Yeah. So Murphy's the guy that they're building up. And so one thing we kind of talked off the air about, and maybe we'll mention it real quick. We get the next TLC pay-per-view. We're getting Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. And it's not The Fiend. It's Bray Wyatt. And so that's why we're not getting the advancement of the Daniel Bryan, The Fiend, because they want to stretch it out a little bit. I think Daniel Bryan and The Fiend would be a great WrestleMania main event. I'm just saying that right now.
I do too, yeah. And obviously that's not what they're looking at right now. They obviously are going Reigns, Wyatt, but, you know, or The Fiend.
Yeah.
I think this, if they can get this to work using the, excuse me, the Bray Wyatt character and The Fiend.
The one who wears a sweater and is happy.
Yeah, have him go back and forth. That I think that's what would make The Fiend even more mysterious and even more of a big deal when he does make an appearance.
Remember when we saw The Fiend here in Rochester at that last house show? And then
he was there for 5 seconds.
And then everyone after the show said it wasn't The Fiend, it was just someone dressed up like The Fiend.
There's a good chance that we might see him again.
Yeah, so we might get The Fiend and Bray Wyatt out at the same time. Or it could be the new character they keep teasing that they're going to add with Bray Wyatt, you know, to his funhouse.
Sure, and it could be Liv Morgan, maybe.
Oh, that would be very interesting.
That's what I'm seeing a lot of teasing with.
Liv Morgan's great. I would love to see.
And she's been off ever since she had that little tiff with Flair on SmackDown before the draft, and she went away, and she had things on Twitter and everything of cutting her hair or whatever. I think all she did was change her hair color, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I'm a big fan of Liv Morgan, so I'd like to see them.
There's a lot of people who are big fans of Liv Morgan.
Yeah. I'm you know. Well, let's go through some of my list of things I wanted to talk about, and I'll start off at the top one. Rollins, heel turn. Thoughts on the advancement this week? Yes, it's going to happen. It'll culminate in a main event of a show, probably a pay-per-view / live event on the network. He's starting to get frustrated with people questioning everything he does now. So that's kind of what a heel does. You kind of move, you know, you start talking back to people who are asking you the question. So what do you think? How do you feel about the advancement of this so far? I mean, I love that it's going to slingshot Kevin Owens into a face spot. And
absolutely.
It has already.
I think Owens can pull off the face or heel regardless, because he's just so great on the mic. Like we were saying, how it helps being good on the mic. He's a great promo. I think Seth is definitely better on the mic as a heel, because I don't know if he really knows how to be face other than when he was with the Shield.
As long as he doesn't say suffering succotash, we'll be okay. Don't write that in his promos, folks.
But I think this is great for Seth Rollins. I think it's the right move. I think it gets him back to probably what he's most comfortable doing, just going out there.
When he was Triple H's right-hand man and also the Universal Champion, I think that was his best run in the company.
Absolutely, because it was kind of like one of them champions that you felt like he shouldn't have been champion, because he just kind of stole every match. He had J&J security. He kind of, you know, he had someone there for him, and he never won anything clean. which is very heelish,
yes,
which was fantastic, which made it work. And I think if they go that route, whether it's with the AOP or just by himself, you know, bashing everybody because he wants to make himself feel better about himself, you know, I think this is the right way to go.
No, I agree. And I think that, and you know, I'm not a big fan of his face, you know, but I mean, I think he started to lose luster with people when the real life relationship came into the play.
The moment the real life stuff came out between him and Becky Lynch right after WrestleMania and all that stuff, it absolutely crushed both of their pushes.
Yes.
And it, I think it hurt Becky Lynch more than it hurt Seth, but I think Becky was able to recover faster and Seth never got it back.
He did not.
He never got it back.
In fact, if anything, it's diminished incredibly over, you know, mm-hmm. since that time. So, and I mean, listen, they're not dumb in WWE. They listen to the people. Yeah. And I mean, we saw the one time in the history of the business in which the people dictated what they did is when Daniel Bryan was vaulted to the champion mm-hmm. in WrestleMania 30.
Absolutely. And kind of hitting on that too with the fans and everything, kind of very similar to what happened this year with Kofi at Mania. And there's a lot of reports out there that came out this week, which, you know, we knew that Kofi wasn't the original guy that was supposed to be in that spot.
No, it was supposed to be Ali. Yeah.
It was supposed to be Ali versus Daniel Bryan. But I guess Daniel Bryan was the main guy behind that move for Kofi Kingston.
I heard that, too, and it doesn't surprise me at all. Daniel Bryan's got a great mind for the world of mm-hmm. wrestling, and I think he obviously has a job in the front office as soon as he's done.
Absolutely. He's a genius.
Yeah, I'm waiting to see what he looks like with no hair since, you know, since The Fiend cut it all off 2 weeks ago.
Go back to the 2010 Bryan Danielson.
Oh, yeah, with the real short crop shot. I thought it was great when actually that came out, and it didn't surprise me in none the least that Daniel Bryan had something to do with Kofi Kingston taking that wood belt off him, you know. Mm-hmm. I agree. And so let me jump to the next topic because we got a couple things I want to go before we hit the break. Now, we did say the BS one we already talked about. Starrcade was last Sunday night. Sorry, it was an hour special on the WWE Network.
And if you ever got your WWE Network to work, you may have been able to watch it.
No one, I don't think anybody could watch it because then they offered it for free on the WWE YouTube channel. Because
I don't think I got to it until like 1 a.m.
Yeah, I saw it on the YouTube channel, and that's I only picked up after half a match. But there was like three matches, and there was an interview with Ric Flair. Ric Flair
and that was actually the best part of the show. And so that was saw it on WWE Network. All you needed to see was the first few moments with Kevin Owens and Ric Flair.
And then the what's the tag team?
I think it was a triple threat tag team match for the women's tag team titles.
No, the first one was the tag
was it the OC and Street Profits?
Yes,
and
yeah, that
Owens?
Was that yeah. was the first one. So
oh, okay, yeah, that was all right.
So, but they announced, they didn't really push it heavily, and then I tried to turn the network on, and the network was dead, and there's a lot of people who are saying the network did not work. So that's why I think they were having issues getting it to the network, so that's why they offered it up for free on the WWE YouTube channel. Went to there, and that was fine, and watched the rest of it, but they hit that very well. I mean, it was a big deal, because it was a cross-brand show, so they had everybody from all the brands. You know, something that they don't normally do, except for when they're in Rochester, apparently.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, the best part of that show was probably the stuff that was kept on the dark side of it.
Yeah, there was. There's a lot of matches, and I went down. It was great. So if you got a chance to see it, that's great. If you missed it, we didn't even talk about it last week, and it's like, because they kept it so quiet.
Yeah, I didn't even know until you said something at around 7 p.m.
Yeah, I was like letting everyone know. I was like, hey, you know, this is on tonight. So we're going to go to break. One last thing. Kyle Busch, 24/7 champ for most of Raw.
And then after Raw, Truth got it back.
Truth got it back. So that was one thing. And we'll come back. I got a couple more things. Moro being back on NXT this past week. And the official Johnny Morrison, Johnny Nitro signing with WWE happened this past week. We'll talk more on the flip side. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Hey, this is Natty Neidhart, first third-generation female wrestler in the world, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain. Yeah, baby!
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. We've got, like, just a couple minutes left. Play this because CM Punk's back on backstage this week, you know, so the ratings do go up when he is on the show, so I'm going to let you know in advance that, you know, if you tape backstage, you'll see CM Punk this week. He won't be challenging, I don't think, Seth Rollins at all, but he will come on and give you his opinions. And I love it because he obviously does give you opinions, and he...
And they're the truth.
That's true. He knows good from bad.
He does not hold anything back.
Nope. And I think someday that they may it may get him in trouble. But right now it hasn't yet, except for, you know, just the little tweeting war he had with Seth Rollins. But
and it'll be interesting to see if they try to put a stop on some of the things that he says. If down the road, because it might build to an actual match, if they try to protect what he says, but. It'll be interesting.
It definitely will be interesting. So one thing I didn't mention yet in my list of things to talk about, and I said John Morrison signed. Mauro Ranallo's back. It was good. I don't care if he talks more than everybody else and they can't get in a word in edgewise. He's better than everybody else.
He's the best in the business. I don't care what anybody says either.
Everyone's like, you know, I know people are like, yeah, I don't like him because he talks too much. It's like, but that's his job.
That's his job. That's what he's there to do. He's there to talk about wrestling.
You should hear him in MMA. He's a solo guy most of the time, and he's like going continuously.
I wouldn't mind if he was by himself in the WWE. Nothing against
I like Nigel.
Nothing against Beth Phoenix. Just Mauro's Mauro.
Yeah, Mauro's Mauro. And it's like, and he's quality. So, Joey Janela, you mentioned trademarks earlier. He's trademarking the bad boy name that they just gave to Rusev. It's interesting. Rusev being called bad boy a couple times now since he's been given the moniker by his wife. I mean, his soon to be ex wife. But what do you think about that? You know, it's like you have a little fight over a trademark coming up soon, it looks like.
I like it because it's not only that, there's a lot of.
By the way, bad boy Barry Hardy is from Rochester, and he was the bad boy before both these guys. So I'm just going to throw that out there.
There was a lot of trademarking that actually went on this week, or attempts to trademark. You know, the thing with Janela, I think that might help him, and it may keep him around in AEW. I know he was having some issues with his booking. I think he was in the main event this past week. With Mox. So, you know, Joey Janela keeping that name might help him stick around in AEW. But also wanted to go back with the trademarking. Mr. Luke Harper trademarked Brody Lee.
This past week.
This past week. Charlotte Flair and Andrade also trademarked some names. Charlotte trademarked her own name, Ashley Flair, and the Queen of Wrestling. And then also Andrade filed for La Sombra and El Idolo.
I will say it's intelligent to do that if you have the money and you can do it, because then if you ever have to go by that name, nobody can say you can't use it.
Right. It's theirs for life then at that point.
So we're going to get out of here. Anything I miss, I think the in-demand, AEW signed up with in-demand, so they'll be having 3 or 4 pay-per-views next year on in-demand. Beyond that,
Oney Lorcan re-signed with WWE.
And the last thing is Offset, the rapper, will be on this week's backstage stage doing the... He'll be doing the challenge. So
the promo school.
Yeah, we'll see you next week, folks. Thanks for listening, and thank you, Mr. Furby. Thank you for everybody. We'll see you next week.